Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the charming Christmas-themed story by author Dawn Harvey Kittle, Christmas is Love, Beatrix is sad because her family can't afford skates. She decides to earn money for them. Later, she has a big decision on how to use her hard-earned money. With the help of her grandmother, she finally makes the decision and learns that Christmas is love. Dawn Harvey Kittle is a retired school teacher. Her other books are Michael Moose Helps Santa and Beatrix the Floppy Ear Bunny. She resides in Michigan, has two grown children and four grandchildren, actively involved in the Greater Lansing Orchid Society, and director of Christian education at her church. We welcome back to This Week in America, Dawn Harvey Kittle, author of the imaginative, fanciful Christmas book, Christmas is Love, number 2 of the Magical Forest series. Dawn, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
It's a chance to talk about another Christmas book. When Dawn was here the last time, a few weeks ago, we talked about Michael Moose Helps Santa. Now we're continuing the Christmas theme with Christmas is Love. What a charming book this is. What a fun book. Receiving excellent reviews. We'll talk about where the book's available as we go through our conversation. Where did the story idea come from? Where did Christmas is Love begin for you?
Well, it started actually with my cousins in Florida. I went to visit them in January because it was cold here in Michigan.
Yes.
And we were discussing our various Christmases and came up with the thought, Christmas is love. And I started using my Methuselah Moose, my Michael Moose book.
Yes.
And I said, that's not working too well. And so I thought, no, I want to get the forest creatures into the book Christmas is Love, and so that's why I decided to use Beatrix again for the second book. And that's basically how it got started. It was down with my cousins, and went from the Moose book to Beatrix to Christmas is Love.
I love what you've done with Beatrix. The other book with Beatrix is Beatrix the Floppy Ear Bunny, and we'll talk about that as we go through the program. And all of these books, the three that we're going to be talking about today, you'll find wherever books are sold, Amazon.com. Couple of bookstores in California, we'll mention those. Also at Dawn's website, which is very simple, her name, Dawn Kittle, K-I-T-T-L-E, books.com. You can link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Books available at UR Link Publishing as well. Talk about Beatrix. Beatrix is poor, doesn't have a whole lot of money, and she sees these people out skating, and she wishes that she could do that, and then, of course, decides she's going to try to get some money to do that. Why did you have her as poor and really looking out and desiring to have her own pair of skates?
Oh, because I wanted all walks of life to be able to identify with Beatrix.
Yes.
Not just the middle class, what you would call the middle class, but all classes, walks of life, you might say, too, included, to be able to identify with this book.
And I think, well, yeah, and she saw something, she wanted that. Then talk about the role of her grandmother. She's very instrumental in having Beatrix find a job. And then, of course, she's got the decision, okay, it's Christmas. I have other things to do with I have too many things to do with my money and not enough money. What was the role of the grandmother?
The role with the grandmother is Beatrix lives with her because of a construction site that the subdivision, I guess you could say, came into their forest and knocked down all their habitat.
Yes.
So they had to get out of there fast. And in a result, her parents were lost along the way. Beatrix was with her grandmother, and they got to the magical forest. Now, the parents hopefully will come up in another book coming around, but that's the role grandma is. She's raising Beatrix.
And doing a nice job of that, too, and teaching her lessons along the way. And those lessons come out in Christmas is Love. This is number two of the Magical Forest series by our guest, the author Dawn Harvey Kittle. What do you hope the audiences take away from reading this book? It's a charming story, beautifully illustrated, as we'll talk about. But what do you hope the takeaway is? What messages, what themes do you hope will resonate with the reader?
Well, of course, to love one another.
Yes.
As simply as that, to love one another, and I'm trying to single-handedly bring about world peace.
One book at a time, and you're on your way to doing that. You've laid the foundation.
Yeah, starting with the children is what my goal is.
Well, you know how that works. As I said, a retired school teacher, and you know what it takes to hold their attention and to get through to them, not only capture the attention, but have a message that will resonate with them. Is it a possibility that Beatrix and her grandmother will ever make it out of poverty? I like that their attitude and what they're doing. They really do have goals and aspirations, don't they?
Yes, yes. I think it's highly possible in another book that they'll make it out of poverty, yes.
What is your next book? You mentioned before maybe another story here. Will you continue the series?
Yeah, I believe so. I have several ideas in mind. one that I thought of not too long ago was that Beatrix is going to have a feast, and she's going to invite the people in the neighboring communities. I have to figure out where the neighboring communities are. But yeah, right. Other than that.
Well, an idea has to start somewhere. So you've got the...
Right, it has to start somewhere. And hopefully that's where the parents will come back, I'm hoping. I'm just trying to get it together.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about that, how stories come together for authors, and you get an idea, you work with that idea, you hope that idea works, and you flesh it out for a while. And you can follow how Dawn is coming with her new books. They'll all be, of course, on her website, dawnharveykittle.com. The three books we're talking about are now available at Amazon. Great Christmas giving idea. This is not only for Christmas time, but throughout the year. A great addition to the family library. It's a book that you can read and discuss with your children. They can read to you. They can read on their own. It's a perfect addition to the library, and you can get all of them at Dawn's website or at Amazon.com. I love what you do with animals. You really make animals come to life, as many of us do in our imaginary world. Animals are people just like us. Why personify animals? Why does that work so well?
Oh, because with the animals, I can use my imagination more,
yes.
Shall we say, make up stuff. And children love animals, generally speaking, that children love animals. And so they can identify with the animals if I use them like people.
It's interesting because you do have creative freedom, because although sometimes we all personify animals, we all have different impressions. They say different things we think to us, and you can, as an author, take that and bring it to life in the book. This book is Christmas is Love, number two of the Magical Forest series. Dawn Harvey Kittle is our guest on the program. I mentioned that, you know, of course, Beatrix, you've got the grandmother that's heavily involved in her life. Are there any characters that you identify with? As you were writing them, you thought, oh, maybe that's got some of my characteristics in it.
Oh, there's a couple. Charlie Chipmunk is one of them. Charlie, he is a persistent chipmunk, and he is having trouble in school. Of course, I really didn't, but he's having trouble in school. But he personifies, he just keeps going and going and going, doesn't give up, and that's how I identify. And he's also stands up for what he believes, Charlie does. And I somewhat identify with Beatrix in a way. So probably those two, combination of the both of them.
It's amazing how you bring them to life in this series, the two Beatrix books, Beatrix the Floppy Ear Bunny, and this book we're talking about, Christmas is Love. What is the targeted audience? Who do you have in mind as you're writing the story?
Well, basically probably the children, because I've written it for the children. But actually, it goes across the board. It goes across from little tiny tots where you're reading the story to them at night to even adults. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in what are we going to get this and who we're going to get this for, blah, blah, you know, that kind of stuff, that as adults we forget that that's what Christmas is. It's love.
Well, and you bring that out in the book, yes, and if you're an adult reading it or listening to it and just focus a little bit on the story, you realize, okay, there is a message for Christmas, and we sometimes lose track of that in rushing around and trying to get everything taken care of and all the presents bought and wrapped and the meals cooked and all of that. You sort of bring it down to the basics of what Christmas is all about. In the book, Christmas is Love. Let's talk specifically about some of the messages that you have in this book, and then we'll talk about the others. It's interesting you mentioned Charlie the Chipmunk. He brings up the three wise men in this story. So you always have a little reference there, don't you, to sort of the reason for the Christmas season?
Right.
How do you go about incorporating that? When you started off writing this book, did you think, okay, Charlie's going to bring this up, or did it just sort of evolve as you were getting into character and telling the story?
Yeah, it evolved. It evolved. As I was going along, I said, you know, I really should bring up why we give gifts. And that's yes. Because of the three wise men. I said, now how am I going to get that in there? And so I thought, oh, I'll use Charlie Chipmunk because that's in his character, in his keeping, you might say, Charlie Chipmunk. So that's how I managed to bring that one in, because so I used Charlie.
Well, I love that. I love the character Charlie, and I didn't mention him in the beginning. You mentioned him there. He's such a lovable character and spreads that message of the real reason for Christmas. And that's brought up, too, don't you, in the story, talk about, you know, it's better to give than to receive, isn't it? And that's a message that really gets lost sometimes.
Yes, it does. Very, very much so gets lost, because when you give a present to someone, you feel good about it.
And I love the message we talked about on the last program, which you'll find in our archives. You'll find at all the podcasting networks, and you'll find the video on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, in the video section. Michael Moose helps Santa. You've got Michael Moose coming. The reindeer are sick. Michael is to the rescue. But it's interesting because he stops off in Bethlehem on the way, and you've got a great point there of pausing the journey a little bit to reflect on the real reason why we do this every December.
Yes.
And you incorporated that into the story. Well, yes, and that I loved what you were able to do with Michael the Moose there as well. All these books are available on the website, dawnkittlebooks.com, and wherever books are sold. How satisfying is this when you write these books, they're out there, they're selling, you're reading reviews, you're getting feedback from family and friends, and the message aspect, it's not just entertainment, it's a little bit more than that, designed for young people. How satisfying is that from your standpoint when you write these and you're able to connect with the audience?
Well, very, very much so. I've had an adult... when I sold the books at the Howell Opera House there for the Festival of Lights and that Byron Christmas in the Village in Byron, and we had a bazaar there, and I had my books, and one of the ladies came up to me Sunday after church, and she said, and she hugged me, and I, what? She says, thank you for the books. She bought all three of them from me. And she said, I read them and she loved them. She says, I'm going to keep them at my house. And when the grandchildren come over, I'm going to read them to them.
I love that.
So she originally, and then I've had my neighbor who also wrote a book. She was selling them and we exchanged books. I got, and I gave her the three. And she emailed me or messaged me or whatever you call it nowadays. And she says, oh, I read your stories and I like them. And she was also a teacher too. And she says, I see you're still teaching. You're still teaching. And she really enjoyed them. So that was great coming from another author.
And I guess once a teacher, always a teacher. Is that pretty much the way that that works?
Seems like it. At least I know. Pretty much so, I'm sure.
Well, you know,
it does with me anyway. I know that.
Well, it lives on in these books. In particular, I love what you've done with Beatrix the Floppy Ear Bunny, as I understand, and we talked about this. A student of yours became a teacher and used the lessons in that book in dealing with bullies and all of the things young kids go through now, maybe never did before, but really use it in the classroom. That has you feel like, well, you are still a teacher. You've got this book and you're able to mold young people. How important is that to you to hear messages like that?
Oh, very important. I had, and Beatrix, I have a teacher's manual to go with it, and it's free. It's on Kittle's Kitty Corner. That's my teacher pay teacher store. And one of my former students downloaded it and used it in her classroom. So that made me feel really good, because not only did I have her, she became a teacher, and she's used my materials in the classroom. So
a job well done in teaching that particular student. That's amazing that she has been able to pick up and continue with that. By the way, that link you'll find on Dawn's website, dawnkittlebooks.com. Books available, this series, I mentioned at Amazon, yourlinkpublishing.com. Books at Dawn's website, dawnkittlebooks.com. And I understand a couple of bookstores in Los Angeles are carrying the book. That's fantastic news.
Not Los Angeles, in California.
In California.
Yeah, one's in Guadalajara, California, and that's Four Eyed Frog. And the other one's in Ferndale, California. That's called Butterfat.
Interesting. I love the name of the a lot of these independent stores have great names.
Yes.
You know, I said L.A. You start with Ferndale and Guadalajara, and you work your way to Los Angeles.
I'm not quite sure where they are.
The next time we talk, you'll have them in Los Angeles. It's great they're in a bookstore. And if you've got a local bookstore, just ask for the book. They can order it, I'm sure, and maybe they'll bring some in and display them in the store and sell them in your local community. In reading some of the reviews, some people talk about, you know, I bought several copies. There are kids in the street that I, you know, we have a relationship with. We like to give them something at Christmas time. And others have taken them to hospitals and given them out. Those are great ideas, aren't they? This is the time of year to spread these messages.
Yes. I've had a friend in the Orchid Society. The last one, she bought six. And I believe that she's like an aide in the house, a nurse's aide or caregiver, whatever, and she takes them with her and gives them to the children there.
Well, it's really a job well done with all of the books. The books in the series, Michael Moose Helps Santa, we've talked about that on this program. Beatrix the Floppy Ear Bunny, that's the book that's being used in classrooms with a very powerful message for young people. And, of course, this book, Christmas is Love, number 2 of the Magical Forest series by Dawn Harvey Kittle. A couple minutes left in our conversation. How long does it take you to write a book? You mentioned you get this idea, then you've got to go back and you're rolling your eyes as I'm asking you this. So I guess it all varies. Once you get the idea, then you've got to implement it. Then you've got to come up with the story around it. And I know sometimes that you don't hit it right the first time. You've got to go back and rework it. How long does it take from the conception of the idea to you actually see the book published?
Oh, till I see it actually published? Oh, mercy. Well, I usually just start writing. I have to stop myself. So I make an outline. First, beginning, middle, and end. And, of course, the theme.
Yes.
And then I'll start writing some ideas, you know. I just start writing it. And then I go to the computer and get on my LibreOffice or whatever I use, and I start typing it. And then as I'm typing it, ideas come to me. It gets changed. It gets changed along the way, sometimes really drastically changed. And then I go back and I save it. And then I let it mull around some more. And I says, well, now I've got myself into a I'm trapped here now. How do I write myself out of this? So it takes me, your question was, how long does it take me? Let me see. Well, I won't talk about the first one because that took 60 years. But the second one, Christmas is Love, let's see. That would take several months, really, by the time it gets to being printed.
And I think if you're an aspiring author, what Dawn is saying is important, that the outline isn't necessarily permanent. You can have flexibility with the outline. It's sort of, it's not in pencil because it's on computer, but it's sort of in pencil in your mind. So you can go back and...
Yes. It's kind of right. Exactly. It's in my mind. Then when I, like I said, then when I sit down to type it, I start typing them. I said, no, that isn't right. See it. So then I change it.
Well, I like that flexibility, and I'm sure there are times when you actually see it all the way written out. It just doesn't come across as you thought it was going to when it was formulating in your mind. So it's nice to be able to go back and to do that. This book is Christmas is Love, the ideal time of year for this book. A great idea, deserves space in all family libraries, along with the other two books, Michael Moose Helps Santa and Peach Ricks the Floppy Ear Bunny. All three books available at Amazon, urlinkpublishing.com, and on Dawn's website, dawnkittlebooks.com. That's K-I-T-T-L-E. And, of course, links for all these on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dawn, it is always a pleasure. Congratulations on all the success you're having and continuing, whether you know it or not, your teaching career and getting out there and reaching young minds and adult minds as well. You get us all sort of hitting the brakes here during December and pausing a little bit and putting everything back in perspective, thanks to Beatrix and her grandmother and Charlie the Chipmunk, and I hope he's back in future episodes as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
It is always a pleasure. Happy holidays. Thank you for being with us. And again, all of Dawn's books available on our website, dawnkittlebooks.com. You'll find information and link on directly on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.